Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio 101.5 FM. I'm Jim Samaria.
Hello, everybody, and I am Jim's co-host, Mark Plotnick. Each week, Jim and I will highlight a different theme from what we consider rock and roll's greatest era, the 1950s through the 1980s.
Mark and I are authors of the book Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today, which is available on Amazon right now, as well as Barbara's Bookstores. It features my photography of classic rock artists from 1973 to present day, with revealing facts and trivia by the famous rock historian Mark Plotnick.
Rock? Well, I got a promotion, everyone.
Yes, you did.
Today, we will highlight important rock bands that should not be forgotten. Many of today's classic rock radio stations are programmed to play some of the same bands over and over, but there are many others that deserve more attention.
Yeah, we came up with this long list, but we narrowed it down to just 8 bands and their classic songs. If we left out your favorites, too bad. But stay tuned, and you're likely to hear some of them on today's show.
I guess I'm allowed to laugh, huh?
Yeah.
All right, so Jim, let's get started. Who's on first?
We're not doing an Abbott Costello bit, all right?
You're so predictable, Jim. I knew you were going to throw that in.
Yeah.
Let's just start the music.
All right.
No more jokes.
All right, we're going to start with the band Free. They were one of the many bands that were part of the British blues boom in the late 60s. They were formed in 68 with drummer Simon Kirk, bassist Andy Frazier, guitarist Paul Kossoff, and the man known as the voice, Paul Rodgers. Kossoff was a classically trained guitarist, but he also loved the great soul and blues records from America, and Rodgers was in awe of soul icon Otis Redding. The band was mentored by British blues legend Alexis Corner, who not only recommended bassist 15-year-old Andy Frazier to join the band, but he helped them get signed with Island Records, and also gave them their name, Free. I don't think he charged them anything either for it. Thus the name Free. The band's big break came in 69 when they went on tour of the USA, opening for Delaney and Bonnie with Blind Faith as the headliner.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty cool lineup. This gave them great exposure. But really helped them get over the top was the release of their 1970 album, Fire and Water, and their famous single, All Right Now.
Oh, go home. Yeah, to my place. Watching every move on her face. She said, look, what's your game? Are you trying to put me in shame? Baby, I said, slow, slow, don't go so fast. Don't you think that love can last? She said, love, love above. Now it's time to trick me in love. Ah! All right now, baby, it's all right now, yeah. All right now, baby, it's all right now. All right now, baby, it's all right.
Jim, you know, Free is another band that had a chance to play Woodstock, but it never materialized.
Yeah, there's so many like that. But, you know, instead of going to Woodstock, they took a week of gigs at a club in New York. And one night, Clapton and Ginger Baker showed up to watch. Clapton came backstage. He asked Kossoff a question. He asked him, how do you get such strong vibrato in your playing? And Kossoff couldn't believe that Clapton was asking him how to do something on guitar. Pretty cool. Unfortunately, the band broke up in 1973, and it's a shame because there was so much potential. But Rodgers and Kirk went on to form Bad Company. Frazier formed the Sharks, which was a pretty good band. And Kossoff started Backstreet Crawler.
Well, speaking of Eric Clapton, the breakup of Cream in late 1968 was the beginning of Mountain in 1969. Cream's producer and multi-instrumentalist Felix Pappalardi knew a guitarist named Leslie West of the group The Vagrants. After West quit, he recorded the solo album with Pappalardi, who played both bass and keyboards as well as producing. That album was titled Mountain. West and Pappalardi were so happy with the sound, it was heavily influenced by Cream, and as a result, they formed the band Mountain. Now, I know that was the name of the solo album, but the name is also a reference to Leslie West's imposing frame. For those of you who have never seen Leslie West, he was a big man. And his frame dwarfed his favorite guitar, Gibson Les Paul. This was the model guitar that gave Leslie West his signature thick, biting tone. Mountain played their first gig at Bill Graham's famed Fillmore West in July of 1969, and a month later, Corky Laing joined, and they were off to play the Woodstock Festival. Their worthy performance is captured on the second Woodstock album, if people are interested in hearing their performance. In 1970, they debuted their impressive studio album, Mountain Climbing, featuring a single with so much impact that it is still part of FM's regular rotation. Led by Leslie West's guitar crunch and gorgeous tone, Mississippi Queen remains one of the greatest rock songs ever. And yes, for all you Saturday Night Live lovers, the song opens with a lot of cowbell.
More cowbell.
That's right. Well, sadly, Mountain was short-lived and disbanded in 1972.
Yeah, I never saw Mountain, but I did see West, Bruce, and Lang. But I had tickets for Mountain. It was 1972. They were supposed to play the Auditorium Theater. And sitting in my seat, and the announcer came out and said they canceled. Apparently, Mountain's record company, which was called Windfall, was in a lawsuit with a Chicago band named Mountain Bus.
Yeah, I remember them.
Yeah, and this being Chicago, Mountain, the band, was afraid to take the stage.
Yeah. Well, Jim, I saw Leslie West at a small bar in Palatine called Haymakers, and I think people from that time in the 80s recognized that they held a lot of great concerts there. I can't recall who was on bass and drums, but I was only a few yards from Leslie West, and I thought, wow, this guy played Woodstock, and he once sold out arenas. It was kind of sad in a way, actually, playing in a small bar. I remember the distant look on Leslie's face, may he rest in peace, but the bar crowd went nuts every time he tore into a guitar break.
Yeah, great guitar player.
Yeah. Well, you are listening to That Classic Rock Show on Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM, and 24/7 on demand from anywhere in the world.
Well, this next band is another one of the great rock and roll bands. The original Humble Pie was formed in 1969, featuring singer and guitarist Steve Marriott from Small Faces, lead guitarist Peter Frampton from The Herd, bassist Greg Ridley from Spooky Tooth, and a 17-year-old drummer named Jerry Shirley. Marriott initially wanted Frampton to join the Small Faces instead of starting a new band, but that didn't work out, so Humble Pie was born. Humble Pie's breakthrough came with the release of their 1971 live album, Performance, Rockin' the Fillmore. Great album. The album was a huge success, but by 1972, Frampton was disenchanted with the direction of the band, so he quit.
Very true, Jim, but a few years later, Frampton turned out more than okay with his 1976 live album, Frampton Comes Alive. Anyone with a respectable record collection owns this LP. It was a monster in terms of live album sales.
Yeah, it was like a greatest hits album. That's why I liked it so much. To take Frampton's place in the band, they chose guitarist Clem Clempson from the jazz rock band Coliseum. And with the suggestion of their manager, the band created a more raucous sound with the soulful and energetic Steve Marriott as the frontman. Quite an exciting band to see live. With Clemson, they recorded their most successful album, Smoke In, which boasted several great songs, including Eddie Cochran's Come On Everybody. I saw Humble Pie so many times back in the 70s. I probably four, five, six times. And I think Stevie Marriott was one of the best people on stage I ever saw. Did you ever see him on stage?
Were they smoking?
Yeah, they were smoking. Did you ever see them?
No, I have not.
All right, you have one of my all-time favorite musicians coming up.
Yes, and I'm going to get funky, Jim.
Yeah, who's this?
All right, well, around 1970, I saw our next band open for Jack Bruce at the Aragon Ballroom, if you can believe it.
Good for you.
Thank you. It was a time when power trios were all the rage and the Cleveland-based James Gang joined the ranks. Drummer Jim Fox founded the band, but several member changes took place, and then good things started happening when the talented and charismatic singer-guitarist Joe Walsh joined the band. Bassist Dale Peters was added for the band's 1970 album Rides Again, and the classic James Gang lineup was complete. In the spring of 1970, The Who asked the James Gang to open for them, and it gave the band much-needed exposure. But as the band's popularity rose, guitarist Joe Walsh grew disinterested and quit. He formed the band Barnstorm and then pursued a fruitful solo career until the Eagles came calling. Talk about a career-making opportunity. Walsh was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a member of the Eagles. Joe's specialty has always been writing and inventing catchy guitar figures, as he demonstrates on my favorite James Gang song, Funk 49. I have no clue as to what happened to funk numbers 1 through 48, but I guess there is a 48.
Yeah, somewhere.
Yeah. In any case, the James Gang were the funkiest sounding power trio next to Jimi Hendrix and his band of gypsies. Let's play Funk 49.
We'll be right back.
When Joe Walsh quit, replacing him was quite difficult. So Fox and Peters hired guitarist Dominic Troiano, who unfortunately did not work out. But at the recommendation of Joe Walsh, they landed a young up-and-coming player by the name of Tommy Bolin, who stayed with the band for a couple of albums.
And Mark, you remember we featured Tommy Bolin on our underappreciated guitar show.
Yes, I do remember that. And let's not forget, the James Gang rode again with their classic lineup reunited at the election rally of President Bill Clinton at Cleveland State University. The classic James Gang lineup also appeared on an episode of the Drew Carey Show titled, I love this title, La Ramada de Vida. And in 2006, the original James Gang toured with the Eagles when they weren't on tour. Stay tuned for part two of that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP 101.5 FM.